which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Ceremonial matters, there is none tonight. We have a couple of public appearances. I'd like to invite Dan Neumeister up to come and address.
Mr. Mayor, I apologize for interrupting. We actually have a third public appearance tonight I'd like to add, and that would be Clint from the Forest Service is here.
Oh, great. Okay.
At least he's
oh, there he is. Hey, Clint. We got you down. Dan, come on up.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and fellow assembly members. I'm Dan Neumeister with Search, and I really just came down to visit with you just briefly to say thank you for all your support. I think we're just building a beautiful hospital and clinic out on the property that you've donated to Search. And as you probably have heard, I'm in the process of retiring. Actually, we'll be retiring in about the next 2 weeks. So on one hand, I'm going to miss tremendously the relationship I've been able to build with you folks. I truly have enjoyed my time, most of the conversations anyway. I'm teasing you. It's actually been a very rewarding experience, not only for me personally, but also for Search. And I hope you folks also feel good about what's happening and from standpoint of building the new hospital. As I listened to your work session and the challenges you have before you, I'm pleased that we're able to pull the hospital out of that challenge and provide you with really a state-of-the-art long-term care hospital, emergency room, and clinic. You're really going to have a special facility here, and we're looking for a spring opening of it in 2021. You know, as I reflect back, part of what has always driven me and my passion for healthcare is to help organizations not just survive, but thrive. And certainly, I think what's really special about what has happened between Search and Wrangell is to, Wrangell was in need, we also happened to be available. It was a win-win for both parties, and it really has helped Search in its growth and providing quality healthcare throughout the region. So I want to thank you. Also want to thank the mayor for his persistence. Every time we talked, it was always jobs have to stay in Wrangell, healthcare jobs, and certainly I think we're growing those jobs as well here. And also want to especially thank Lisa von Bargen for just really being a tenacious fighter for the city of Wrangell and negotiating a very good arrangement for the city. And you know, it's one of those times when you negotiate a deal, if both sides walk away just a little bit scratching their heads, it's usually a pretty good deal for both, and certainly enjoyed that. In just concluding comments, because I know you have a lot of things on your agenda tonight, you really have some really great leadership here with, from standpoint of Mark Walker and Carly Allen, your future hospital administrator, when Letha McKillieff, who is also doing a fantastic job for us, decides to exit at some point in the near future. So, and then also I wanted to share with you, even though I'm retiring, Search continues to grow with its senior leadership, and a person that I know you will want to get to know is Dr. Elliot Brule. Dr. Elliot Brule has been actually started his medical career in the Southeast at Search in Sitka, and about 5 years ago, after being a medical director for us for a couple years, took the opportunity to go to Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. And as you probably know, they're rated number one in the world for clinical care. We were very fortunate. After 5 years, he said, you know, I'm missing Southeast. My wife is an Alaska native. And so he's been with us back since June of last year. And in October, because I knew I was had other plans to go as well, he's not only our vice president of chief medical officer, which means he's responsible for all the medical oversight of Search, but he's also responsible for the financial and operational aspects of both of our hospitals and all of our clinics. So not only do you have Letha McKillieff here, but she reports up to Dr. Elliot Brule, and I think you'll find him to be tenacious from a standpoint of moving quality healthcare forward, in not only in Wrangell, but also throughout the Southeast. So with those comments, I just want to say thank you. thank you for your support of Search, and thank you for the opportunity to develop a close relationship with you. Thank you.
And Dan, before you step down, I just on behalf of the board, I just want to say we really appreciate the effort that you put forward into bringing this full circle, and bringing the hospital, the new hospital, to our community. And I really believe that your demeanor and honesty and your ability to communicate with this community when we had our community meetings really brought the community along. And I was always kind of amazed when we were done and we walked away. You answered the questions, you did it graciously, and you did it honestly. So we really appreciate what you've done for our community. We won't forget. So thank you very much, Dan.
Thank you.
You're here.
Thank you.
Okay. We have up next... Debbie, Dr. Lancaster, would you come up for Brangle Public Schools, please?
Yes.
Thanks, Dan.
Is there a time limit? No? Okay.
A minute or less.
I'm sorry? Okay. Also, one more thing is I have some information I'll be referring to, but I don't know if you want it now or later or whatever. But anyway, I'm not going to make this like forever. All right. But anyway, my name is Debbie Lancaster, and I am proud to be the superintendent at Brangle Public School District. And I appreciate this time for bringing you kind of an overview of what the school district it stands for and that sort of thing. Because I haven't done this before, I wanted to just give you some general information. You may or may not know it, but I thought, well, we'll all start off the same way. So our mission at Wrangell Public School District is to educate and inspire every student. Our vision is to graduate students who are resilient, innovative, and prepared for the future. So we've adopted these six values of be respectful, be honest, act with integrity, be courageous, develop confidence, and be kind. So our strategic plan, dated 2018 through 2023, was adopted by the school board in June of 2018, and it's a dynamic document that we revised in 2019 and are also in the long process of revision in 2020 because we have we have a lot of new board members who weren't involved in the original adoption. So it's been a long process to go through the strategic plan with them. So the strategic plan is part of the framework for the decisions that are made in the Wrangell district. And it's comprised of five goals: student learning, stakeholder satisfaction, employee development, administrative support, fiscal responsibility. So in order to create this plan, a team of 10 stakeholders from a cross-section of the stakeholder population took 5 months to work as a panel to come up with direction that they wanted the district to go in. It was a long and tedious process. I was able to get in on the last 2 days of that strategic planning, but the impact from that plan has had a huge impact on guiding our decision-making processes. Each administrative report submitted to the school board every month since July 1st, 2018 has reflected our strategic plan. So it's an important part of our district. Also, in 2018, Wrangell Public School District adopted the Alaska Education Challenge, which has three parts. First, increase student success. Second is cultivate safety and well-being. And third is to support responsible and reflective learners. The Alaska Education Challenge has measurable goals that they expect. One of them is that we support all students to read at grade level by the end of third grade. Another is to increase career, technical, and culturally relevant education to meet student and workforce needs. Third, close the achievement gap by ensuring equitable education and resources. Fourth, to prepare, attract, retain effective education professionals. And then finally, improve the safety and well-being of students through school partnerships with families, communities, and tribes. So this year, our schools have worked together diligently to adhere closely to our charge from the state through the Alaska Education Challenge and through the strategic plan, which is our district initiatives. As you know, we have 3 schools. We have 26 certified teachers and administrators. We have 31 classified employees. Our current enrollment is 298, which is down from 311. Typically, it's not unusual to have enrollment fluctuate through the year. Wrangell High School has 86 kids enrolled. Stikine Middle School has 62. Evergreen Elementary has 150 kids. Our poverty level, as of today, is 51% of our students is 51%. This means that 51% of our students' population qualify for free and reduced lunches. Our elementary and middle school are designated ESEA schools, which means elementary and secondary educational, they fall under the Elementary and Secondary Educational Act. That means that they qualify for federal dollars to be spent to close achievement gaps, to provide professional development, and to fund new ways to support the health and well-being of our student population. Last year, we made a choice to spend a portion of our Title I-A funds on a counselor who specializes in social-emotional learning. 2/3 of that salary and benefits are funded through federal dollars. This is the part that you may want to see.
Give the clerk there. Oh, thank you.
So each year, the state issues a report card to the public for each of the school districts, and you've just been passed out a copy of just the highlights from the report card to the public. And what happens is that the state looks at several indicators for each school in the district, and they assign an index value, which is kind of like a grade, so to speak. It's on a 100-point scale. So they look at things like attendance, they look at things like safety, suspensions, they look at academic success, and they look at academic growth. They also look at a graduation rate. So what you have before you are the 3 schools that have the index values reported on them. The school board was given this information in October when it was released formally to the public and put on the public website. Evergreen Elementary has an index value of 61.07. Their academic achievement shows grades, and this is the way they report. Grades 3 through 6 had 49.3% English language arts proficiency for the students and 67.61% mathematics proficiency for grades 3 through 6. Academic growth, which is very important, which played a part in an award we received recently at Evergreen Elementary. Academic growth in English language arts, 43.73% of our students showed academic growth for English language arts, and then for mathematics, 68.18% of our kiddos showed academic growth. Now I want you to look up at the top of the page, and it says this is for school year 2018 through 2019. Okay, so this is and this was just released to the public January 22nd, so it's a fairly fresh report. Stikine Middle School has academic achievement of grades 7 through 9, 42.86, and mathematics, 28.57% of those kids are proficient in math. Academic growth, 62.96% for English language arts and 48.15%. Now, I'm not going to explain what those percentages might mean, but you can think about that. All right, and then for Wrangell High School, we had academic achievement, and it's interesting that they just include the grades 7 through 9, but this is fresh off the website. So they say we have an index value of 76.3. They factored in not only the academic achievement, but they also, and the academic growth, but they also included the graduation rates. Now, a lot of high schools don't do very well because of graduation rates of the 4-year and the 5-year seniors. So this is our report card for this year, and basically it can drive some decisions that we make that will be best for moving forward. So include, in addition to our report card to the public, some highlights that I just want to touch on this for this year are that, first of all, I'd like to thank you for your participation and your kind of spearheading of the caring season. And that was in response to just a need for the students to have a wonderful, healthy alternative for the caring season, for the Christmas season or the winter season, have some options to fill up some time. We also have high teacher retention, which is one of the initiatives by the Alaska Education Challenge. We've had some champion athletes. We've had kids go to state in different sports. We've had the reintroduction of the Upward Bound program, which is a program that encourages first-generation four-year college graduates. We have participated in research camps. We got national recognition last week at the national conference, the ESEA, for academic improvement and closing achievement gaps in our elementary school. We were nominated for special education excellence. We've had an increased turnout in stakeholder meetings, such as we had a grading school task force meeting. We had a pretty good turnout for that. We had a really good turnout for our staff budget meeting yesterday. Really good. We had almost every teacher there, which was wonderful. We've had consistent professional learning communities in the schools, which is a best practice where teachers can collaborate on data-driven decisions. They can collaborate on cross-curricular activities. They can collaborate on course descriptions or just any number of things. But it is time set aside so that teachers can work together as a team, come up with wonderful classroom management strategies, and it's a good time if used wisely. Data disaggregation by several grades is in place right now, and it is supposed to drive our instruction. We're supposed to have instruction based on what we determine through our data. We have passed or in the process of passing a school board policy on civility, so that we can model all of our values in the school district. We have also had professional development opportunities for almost every certified staff member this year, and we've included a few classified staff members. We've been able to send someone to the health wellness conference in Anchorage. We've sent two paraprofessionals to the ESEA conference in Atlanta, and we are about to send another classified staff member to an autism conference in Minnesota. Our challenges have been that because we have these great jobs that are opening up for everyone, we struggle with keeping employees because we don't offer full-time benefited work for our classified staff. So we've had, right off the bat, within 30 days that the year opened up, we had three classified staff members go find another job that paid more and had benefits and that sort of thing. We're about to lose a couple more for the CNA program, which is a wonderful thing, but it's we're losing staff because of that. So that's one of our challenges. So bottom line, we know full well that our children learn from each and every one of us. And it's our job not only to speak about the district-wide values, but to model and master these values. Children learn from what they see. So therefore, we're seeing an impact and an increase on personal integrity through more honest, respectful, courageous, and kind interactions with each other. It's making a difference throughout our district. Our meetings are calmer. As quoted by Henry Thomas Buckle, great minds discuss ideas, average minds discuss events, and small minds discuss people. We want our students to have great minds and to continue to nurture that end result. I appreciate your time, and I will be back another time to get a little more detail about what goes on. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Debbie. Okay. Clint, you're up. Thanks for coming down. We're always happy to have you.
Say that.
Tell us some good news.
So before I begin, I have a question for the council. When I put together these notes, which are pretty plain, I do send them to Kim. Do you guys have a copy of this with you? Or is what I'm reporting on?
Didn't get into this packet. We've had them in there before.
Okay.
But it didn't get into this packet. Kim was partially away, so it may have gotten lost in the shuffle. So
absolutely no worries. It just helps me from a presentation standpoint. Okay. Better. So I'll assume that you normally have them in front of you. So good evening, everyone. Thank you for having me. We currently have 6 standing agenda topics from the Forest Service, and I'll roll through them in order. Number 1 is the Central Tongass landscape analysis. The newest information is that the draft record of decision, or referred to as the ROD when you get into all our acronyms, is on pace to become this month or early next month, so that timing is still in play. There hasn't been anything that's changed the overall timeline on that project. Any questions on Central Tongass? Okay, then moving on to number 2, which is the roadless rule. I have provided no updates at this time. My assumption is that they're still on their timeline as well, but I have no new information to share. Any questions on that? Third topic is recreation here at the district level, and I'm pleased to say I do have some new news. The district will again be hosting a 10-person AmeriCorps or NCC crew that will be working, as in the past, on both community and Forest Service projects. I think some of you know we had some housing challenges with that, and we figured it out. So we turned our part of our rec room in our bunkhouse into extra bunkhouse space. So got a little creative, and it all worked out well. So I'm really pleased that we're able to continue that. Any questions on recreation? Okay. Number 4 is the Resource Advisory Committee, or the local RAC. No updates other than what I said last month, which I'll reiterate, and that was refunded for 2 more years, and that's such good news. I think it's worth repeating. Any questions on the rack? Okay, number 5, and what's got our mayor all excited. Vehicle issues on Forest Service administered lands, Zarumble Island. We did have a stakeholders meeting with Assembly Member David Powell and City Manager Lisa Van Bargen. I'll speak from my standpoint, that the meeting went very well. In addition to the 2 I just named was myself and several of my staff members. And several new ideas were brought forward and are currently being explored. And when I say new, I think these are different alternatives than what's possibly been proposed in the past. My plan is we're still in the process of fleshing out some of those ideas and moving forward on what we discussed from that update. And I'd like to call for another stakeholder meeting tentative in March. But I don't want to call for it now because I want to make sure we have information that's worth talking about, because I don't want to hold a meeting for just for the sake of holding a meeting. I want to be able to report something. Any questions on cars on Zarumble? Okay.
Can you share with us what the ideas were? I'm just kind of curious.
David, what did you hear?
You really want me to share that one?
Yeah, I'd like your impression. or at least like, there was a whole
bunch,
I thought.
Actually, we had a whole bunch of ideas. They came out with 3 plans. I think the Forest Service didn't really think we were going to go with plan number 3, but I think everybody was like, that was one of the best plans, and that was to get the borough involved. And possibly, I want to say this right, not lease the land. Is that?
A land use agreement.
Or a land use permit. They're both very similar in both options, and that's what I'm exploring right now. Is there a land use agreement option? I've heard from some people that that's the way it's done in other areas, or similar circumstances in other areas. For instance, when a rural community has a transfer station for garbage, A lot of times those facilities will be located on Forest Service government property, I should say, not always Forest Service, and or public property. But the municipality will enter into a land use agreement with the agency that administers that land. And once that agreement's in place, the municipality has some free board on decisions of how to manage that for the use that's there. I will give you an update. I have checked into that a little bit, and it's causing people to scratch their heads.
Okay.
But we still have a permit process where there's the possibility of permitting the borough to basically do the same thing. So instead of permitting individuals, we can permit a municipality to help set up standards and guides for how that location can be used and help facilitate that. And that sharing, and through that use permit, it gives more flexibility to what can be done than if we stayed within, if we administered it ourselves. We have those authorities that we must always refer back to when it comes to permits and fees and what's the other thing I'm forgetting? Permits, fees, and surety bonds, if possible. So we think by entering into some sort of collaborative agreement that we'll have one, more flexibility, two, more buy-in, and three, obviously, more chances of success. The last thing I will say, Mayor, is, you know, this, it's an elephant, and I know it's a cliche, but how do you eat an elephant? Come on, someone say it.
One bite at a time.
So removal is the first bite, and I do think that falls more in our laps as the agency, and we have some ideas for that through some possibility of a restoration or stewardship project, because obviously that area needs to be a little rehabilitated. It is an administrative site, and it's not in the best of condition when it comes to runoff, erosion. It's probably not up to par to where we need to do an analysis that doesn't, I don't want to scare you with, oh no, more analysis. We need to take a hard look at that site, and because it's an administrative site, the NEPA falls under a categorical exclusion, and that won't be a time issue. But that's, and when we rehab that, that's something we can do internally with some tools that we have. And then the second big bite is the management plan into the future, and I think that's where community support is critical.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay. Any other one? Topic number five. Okay, the last topic is the SS Chugach, and I don't have any new updates at this time. So is there anything that you would like removed or added to this at this time?
Julie.
I read the news story in the paper about the meeting on the Thomas Lyon Mansion plan, but I wondered how you felt that went, the public meeting.
Okay, you read in the
newspaper.
Okay.
The meeting held around the Thomas Lyon Mansion plan and how that works and kind of like what we had talked about.
Oh, our meeting that we had here? Our
public, did I get that wrong?
Our open house that we have?
I wasn't here.
Sure.
So I didn't attend.
So Lisa, correct me if I'm not on task here, but I think you're referring to the community workshop we had on our land management plan. Lisa attended, Carol Rushmore attended. At one time we had eight total folks in the room, which I thought was great. I think the meeting went really well. I think the downside is that our forest plan expert, Sue Jennings, is retiring in April. And I was incredibly impressed, I think as Lisa was, as she was answering questions and citing parts of the plan by memory and rarely opened it.
And where it relates to, like, different...
Right.
Any connection there was to that part of the plan, whether it's in Code of Federal Regulations and how that, you know, how that relates to the plan, it was crazy. So yeah. Crazy that I said, there needs to be an A with your voice on the other end of it to answer any questions we have about the forest plan.
She said that was fine until April.
Yeah.
I think the meeting went well. My opinion on that is it's an extremely complicated document, and that one meeting did not, light bulbs didn't go off for, okay, we know how to move forward. So I think that's a continuing conversation, and any time we want to do more of that, please let me know. Obviously, we won't have Sue, but we'll do our best to round up the best subject matter experts we have. And I'll be getting better slowly but surely with that document as well. But no, we're happy.
And when does she leave in April?
I don't know the exact date.
And a few meetings back, you were requesting additional RAC members. Did mm-hmm. you get? Do you have a full complement?
Right now, we are full, and it does not mean that we have a minimum quorum. So if Maya is still interested, I still encourage Maya to talk with Tori Hauser, who can help facilitate how that process, if she's still interested, can become official.
Okay.
So approval for those members, there's a bit of a process, imagine that, but we're happy to make that work.
So Clint, my thing is about staffing up at the Forest Service, and are we still losing positions through attrition, or where are we at? How's your staffing situation?
Boy, you guys are on point tonight. Funny you should ask. So I've been in Petersburg the last 2 days as we look at how we can, I don't want to say reorganize, but how we can strategically plan for future staffing across our recreation zone. And you can apply that to the entire district. I'll be frank, the bottom line is our budget continues to go down. The expectation is our workload probably won't change until we get to the point where we frankly say, with what we can afford to hire, this is the amount of work we can actually get done. We need to be able to prove that we've exhausted all our opportunities for sharing and pairing between districts or even official zoning of districts. So I know I haven't answered your question yet, but I'm getting there. So this is the discussion we're getting at. So here's a good one for you.
Petersburg all over here. We'll be fine.
So what I hear a lot is when every time we lose a box on our organizational chart to retirement or to that person leaving for another position, whatever the reason is, we look at the entire organization and say, what's the best way to refill that position? What makes the most sense with our potential budgets and with our potential workload? And I can tell you with all honesty and a straight face that no one in the agency wants to say, well, we're just not going to fill that box, although that is a result sometimes. And I'm faced with, well, if we go from a GS level that's an 11, but we might have to fill it with a 9 or a 7, I frequently hear, well, I'm not sure that person can live here because it's too expensive. I'm not sure that person can get the work done. The answer is, if we've told we don't have the money to fill that at an 11, I'd rather have a 9, a chance at a 9 that's going to take that job and be in this community, than just throwing the hat in and saying we're not going to hire it. So I understand that that's a huge challenge. But we also have some strategic ways of looking at that. When we have to hire at a lower level, we can build pay ladders into that. So if it's a GS 9 at the top of its level, that's what's required for that position. We can build in a 5-7-9 ladder. And then generally when someone comes in at that lower level, they gain that experience. But they're here for those 3 years. They can leave if they want to, but generally once they're in that position and they want to work their way towards that higher level, then that's a longer time that we can hold on to them and hopefully endear them to our community. So these are super tough questions, Mayor. I wish I could sit here and give you simple answers to them.
So what I just want to extend to you is that, as we maneuver around through at least with our federal legislators and our federal lobbyists, I've made it part of my discussions with them about maintaining a vibrant Forest Service presence in this community. And so I'd like to know, that's something I'd like to know about, because you and I had a discussion in Ketchikan about sort of jobs not being refilled after the person retires. And these are important jobs to our community, and it's important services that the Forest Service provides. So we want to be as supportive as we can, and if there's things that we can do, please let us know. If there's letters that need to be written or meetings that Lisa can attend,
yep.
Let us know, because we want to see the Forest Service remain.
Lobbying, we can do with our federal delegation.
Yeah.
Okay. Similar to the issue with vehicles on Zirimbo, I'm not going to hesitate to ask you guys for help, for advice, or for any way that you think you can help expand our way of thinking about the challenges that we face, because we don't always have none of us have all the answers. You know, three minds are better than two, six minds are better than four, et cetera, et cetera. So.
Appreciate it. Other questions? Please? Thank you very much for coming down again. Appreciate it. We'll see you next month. Roll call, please.
Assemblymember Gilbert, here.
Seekman.
Morrison?
Here.
DeLong? Decker?
Here.
Howell?
Here.
Larrabee?
Here.
Mayor Pruszenka?
Here. Persons to be heard, could we grab the list? Thank you. Well, Kim, would you come up and do an invocation for us, please? Thank you.
I sure will. Really, I'll go through a bunch of different things that I have as a citizen. No, I'm kidding.
Take your time.
No, first of all, again, and I know that I've said this before, but I just want to tell you guys how much that we appreciate all of you and the position that you serve in. All of us doing different things in the community is what makes Wrangell so fantastic. And for you to all invest your time, your energy, and all the research and things like that, thank you so much for doing all that. And thank you for filling out my message for Sunday, because I've been strategically going through the book of 1 Timothy, and I'll keep it brief. It says this: most of all, I'm writing to encourage you to pray with gratitude to God, and pray for every political leader and representative. And so that is on the agenda for Sunday. And it just so happens that tonight was the night that I had signed up to come and pray for you guys and for our community. So it worked out perfect.
Perfect.
God, I thank you for each and every one of these individuals that's faithfully. God, I ask you that you would just pour out your blessing upon them. God, that you would give them wisdom. Father, that you would just continue to work in our community. God, we thank you for the mighty things that you've done, and we look to you to continue to lead, guide, and direct us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
For coming out. Appreciate it. Do folks want a little recess?
Yeah, 3 minutes.
Okay. Yeah, can we? And Lisa, if I make it a 5-minute one, is that okay?
Okay.
So we're going to. So, any other discussion? Full vote, please.
Assemblymember Morrison?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Howell?
Yes.
Larrabee?
Yes.
Mayor Pruszenka?
Yes. Conflicts of interest. Anybody have a conflict tonight? No. Okay. Consent agenda.
Move to approve consent agenda as submitted.
We moved. We have a second.
Second.
We moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, poll vote, please.
Assemblymember Powell?
Yes.
Larrabee?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Mayor Pruszenka?
Yes. Borough Manager's report. Lisa, you're up.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have a couple of items to add to the KYP messages I've been sending out. The first I mentioned earlier in our work session.